Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dennis Hennigan, who is the acting president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and founder of the Center's Legal Action Project. He is the author of Lethal Logic, Exploding the Myths That Paralyze American Gun Policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dennis Hennigan. Are you there, Dennis?
Yes, I am. It's nice to be with you.
It's good to be with you. And I wanted to talk to you about the reassignment of the acting head of ATF, Kenneth Melson, who has been embroiled in this botched sting operation, Operation Fast and Furious, which the Republican chair of the Oversight Committee, Darrell Issa, has made a kind of an issue out of it. Just to get some background here, he's the acting head of ATF. There's no permanent head of ATF. President Obama nominated as the head of ATF Andrew Traver, but he's been held up because of strong opposition from the National Rifle Association. Melson's moved aside to a job in Justice, and replacing him as ATF's acting director will be Todd Jones, the U.S. attorney for the District of Minnesota. But this shuffling about begs the question of why is this agency has for so long, for decades, been headed by an acting director? Dennis, are you there? We apparently lost the call here. Could you call back immediately and get hold of Dennis?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, there you are. What happened?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I did hear your question. And, you've pinpointed the problem. This is an agency that for many years has been without a permanent director. In fact, it's been that way since the Congress made the director of ATF subject to congressional approval. And what has happened is the gun lobby has used its influence in the Congress to block various nominees for that position, including Mr. Traver, because quite frankly, the NRA doesn't want a strong, effective director of ATF. It doesn't want a strong, effective ATF. In fact, it basically wants to destroy ATF because it really doesn't want our gun laws to be enforced. And so this fast and furious operation, which has become so controversial, basically is a result of the lack of strong leadership. And it's also the result of the absence of strong laws, which would give ATF effective tools to combat gun trafficking. ATF has tried to do the best it can with what it has, and obviously it made mistakes in this particular operation. But we need to be focusing on the real problem, which is the United States Congress refusing to give ATF the tools it needs, the permanent director it needs, because the gun lobby does not want our gun laws to be actively enforced.
And just for the benefit of the audience, the Operation Fast and Furious was a sting operation that allowed a lot of firearms, at least 2,500 firearms, into the hands of straw purchasers, mostly in the border areas, in the hopes of making a bigger case. And it does seem that nobody was in charge of this. At least nobody seems to be taking responsibility for who organized this. The president says he didn't authorize it, and the attorney general didn't authorize it. It's difficult to know who actually authorized it.
Well, and again, the problem is that you have these straw buyers who go into these border state gun shops, and they will walk out with 5, 10, 15 assault rifles at a time. And these are the kinds of high-powered rifles that the cartel wants very much, because they can fire multiple rounds without the need to reload, and law enforcement feels very much outgunned by criminals bearing this kind of firepower. Our laws should be strong enough so it is not possible for a gun dealer to sell 10, 20, or 30 assault rifles at a time. In fact, Our laws should be strong enough so that a gun dealer can't sell a single assault rifle. And in fact, for 10 years in this country, we had a ban on precisely these kinds of assault rifles that the cartels in Mexico favor. But again, the power of the gun lobby in Congress was such that that ban was allowed to expire, was not renewed by the United States Congress, and that leads to this situation where the best we can do is try to follow the guns after they leave the gun store and try to interdict them and try to arrest the traffickers when we should not be permitting these guns to be sold in the first place.
Well, clearly, Dennis Hannigan, again, the acting president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and founder of the Center's Legal Action Project, clearly there's a lot of posturing going on, particularly on the part of Darrell Issa, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee. He seems to be trying to tie this botched sting to President Obama, and he's now saying that there's a scandal here that reaches much higher into the Obama administration. And the fact that these firearms ended up in many crimes, including found at the scene of U.S. Border Patrol agents' murder last year, of course, adds fuel to that fire. But it seems to me that this is incredibly hollow posturing here, given what you've been telling us, and which I think is fairly clear, that these same lawmakers who are expressing outrage now have been systematically weakening gun control laws and the ATF's ability to enforce what laws still exist. I mean, let's just explain to the audience the importance of the Teilhard Amendment, which is the put in by a Republican congressman that effectively makes it impossible for the information that we're talking about from these straw purchases to be shared with local law enforcement.
Yes, that's right. I mean, the what has become known as the Teilhard Amendment, after its sponsor, Todd Teilhard, who incidentally is no longer in Congress. He was defeated last time around. But the Teilhard Amendment blocked public and law enforcement access to vital crime gun trace data. And this was the data that, for example, was telling us that almost 60% of crime guns throughout our country, not just the ones going to Mexico, but throughout our country, originated with about 1% of the nation's gun dealers, which suggests that the problem of the criminal market in guns is largely a problem of corrupt gun dealers who aid and abet precisely the kind of trafficking we're talking about. But this kind of information is very threatening to gun dealers. It was very threatening to the gun lobby, which would like people to believe that all these gun dealers are law-abiding and they have nothing to do with creating the illegal market, and that the illegal market is formed entirely by criminals stealing guns from law-abiding citizens. And so what does the gun lobby do? Because the information is so threatening, it shuts down public access to the information. It wants the public to be ignorant of exactly what is going on when this kind of trafficking occurs. And there's simply no question that the gun lobby has devoted itself to making sure that federal law enforcement does not have the tools to control this kind of trafficking. It is very difficult, for example, for ATF to put out of business, to lift the licenses of those corrupt gun dealers, precisely because years ago the gun lobby put restrictions on ATF and erected such a high standard of proof that it's very, very difficult for ATF to attack these corrupt gun dealers. So time and time again, the ATF has weakened ATF, or the gun lobby has weakened ATF. And we have another more recent example where the Obama administration is trying to impose a rule that simply requires border state gun dealers to report multiple sales of these semi-automatic rifles that take these high-capacity ammunition magazines. Again, the kind of guns that the cartel wants. All the Obama administration wants to do is require dealers to report when large volume sales of these guns occur so that they get real-time notice of these highly suspicious transactions so that they can figure out who the traffickers are, and they can go after them, and they can interdict the guns before they get to the border. And yet, the gun lobby is opposing that. They are suing the Obama administration to stop it. I dare say Daryl Issa strongly opposes it as well. So every time there is a move to give ATF the tools it needs to be a strong and effective agency, the gun lobby and its friends in Congress try to prevent that from happening.
And now Daryl Issa is trying to grab headlines, posturing outrage at this botched operation, which you've pointed out, Dennis Hennigan, is actually a result of the fact that the Congress has weakened the ATF to the point where it has had no leadership, and thus these kind of sting operations end up getting out of control. I mean, that seems to be the story here.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. As a matter of fact, in a hearing that Daryl Issa convened on this fast and furious operation, you know, he called as witnesses ATF agents who had actually questioned the operation, the wisdom of it, and exposed the operation. And when those witnesses were asked whether they would find the new Obama administration proposed reporting rule helpful in fighting gun trafficking, those ATF witnesses said they would find it very helpful. And you know what Daryl Issa did? He tried to shut them down. He tried to tell them that that kind of testimony was beyond the scope of the hearing, that the hearing was not to consider whether we need stronger laws and stronger regulations. And his own witnesses, who he called himself to that hearing, testified that based on their experience with trying to enforce federal gun laws, the Obama administration rule would be very helpful.
Well, Dennis Hennigan, again, the acting president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and founder of the Center's Legal Action Project. He's also the author of Lethal Logic, Exploding the Myths That Paralyze American Gun Policy. We may not be having an intelligent debate about it here in this country, but there's certainly a lot of outrage down in Mexico, including President Calderon blasting the gun dealers and the firearms regulations in this country. And he said that there's a connection between the guns and profits from the U.S. Sale of drugs, because obviously we're the market for these drugs that the cartel make profit from. He said it's partly to blame for this firebombing in a casino just recently in Monterrey that left 52 people dead, and apparently has, in a country that's been seen sort of endless brutality, apparently this is almost too much for the Mexican people. They're absolutely outraged.
No, that's right. And a coalition of hundreds of Mexican advocacy groups, peace groups, non-governmental organizations is joining together with the Brady Campaign and other gun control groups in America have a petition to President Obama to take decisive action against this trafficking, and that petition appears on our website at www.bradycampaign.org. President Calderon has been absolutely eloquent. He went before the United States Congress last year and made a plea for the United States to try to control this kind of trafficking, because tens of thousands of these assault rifles are moving from U.S. gun shops into the hands of the Mexican cartels, and they are fueling this kind of unspeakable violence in Mexico. And the President Calderon pointed out that the violence got so much worse when the U.S. assault weapon ban expired in 2004. That's when it started to climb. That's when the cartels realized that because of Mexican gun laws being so strict, they couldn't get these assault rifles in Mexico, so they began resorting to border state gun shops, and they're shipping them down to Mexico by the truckload.
And these include AK-47 assault rifles and the Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifles, and those they are capable of shooting down a 747. I mean, this is serious ordnance that's getting into the hands of criminals, and it's just a matter of time, I think, before some outrage like shooting down an aircraft.
Yes, these 50 caliber sniper rifles simply have no place in civilian society whatsoever. They are weapons of war, and yet the gun lobby, again, will do everything it can to prevent restrictions even on those kinds of guns, which are clearly terrorist guns. I mean, they can shoot down an airplane taking off from any of our major airports, and yet they are easily accessible in gun shops and gun shows throughout this country.
So just in closing, Dennis Hennigan, the NRA clearly has got the Congress intimidated, and not just Republicans who faithfully support them, but also a lot of Democrats. And as you've noticed, I'm sure to your great frustration, the Democratic Party simply won't talk about gun control. What do you think is going to break the kind of lock that they've got over the Congress? Because my understanding is that there's a huge gap between the leadership of the NRA and their sort of fanaticism and the rank and file members of the NRA who are actually, you know, they've been polled and they actually believe that there should be some reasonable gun control.
Yes. I mean, this is a very peculiar issue where the American political system is simply not generating the kinds of policies that are favored by the vast majority of the American people. There have been surveys of gun owners and NRA members themselves showing that upwards of 70 to 80% of NRA members themselves favor such reforms as extending Brady Bill background checks to all gun sales, including all sales at gun shows, or enacting legislation that would bar the sale of guns to people on the terrorist watch list. Those are people who right now are barred from getting on airplanes because of their ties to terrorism, but they can go in and buy as many assault rifles as they want. And this is crazy, and the American people think it's crazy, and so do most gun owners and NRA members. So what you have is gun policy in this country being dictated by a small minority of ideologically driven extremist gun owners who find their voice in the leadership of the National Rifle Association, and it's a very intimidating voice. And it's past time for our politicians to stand up to these bullies at the NRA and start listening to the average gun owner and start listening to the American people in formulating gun policy.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Dennis Hennigan.
It's been my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Dennis Hennigan, who is the acting president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. He's the founder of the center's Legal Action Project and the author of Lethal Logic, Exploding the Myths That Paralyze American Gun Policy. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Iraq.